We've heard these lines from Matthew 28 many times, but do we really know what they mean? Now, Jesus is standing with his disciples on the mountain before his ascension into heaven. The verses contain what has come to be called the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And Jesus gave this command to the disciples, to the apostles, shortly before he ascended into heaven. And it essentially outlines what he expected from them, and those who followed them, to do in his absence. Many people also understand Acts 1, verse 8, as part of the Great Commission as well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be Christ's witnesses, fulfilling the Great Commission in our cities, in our states and countries, and anywhere else God sends us, to the ends of this earth. And these words are most important because, at least in Matthew's gospel, they are the last words of Jesus before his ascension. And last words are always important. When a loved one dies, one of our questions is, did he or she have any last words? We all realize that the last words that people say often represent that which is closest to their heart. So these words are important because they are the last words of Jesus Christ recorded in Matthew's gospel. And these words are also important because they explain what the followers of Jesus Christ, us, what we are to do in the long period between his first coming and his second coming. Jesus knew it would be a long time before he would come back. And just before he departed for heaven, he gave the disciples these last words, which are the marching orders of the Christian church. And these verses describe what you and I are to be doing during that long period of waiting between the first coming and the second coming. And again, these words are important because they apply without exception to all Christians, at all times, in all places, in every possible situation. Four times in this passage, Jesus uses all, or some form of the word, all. Notice verse 18. All authority has been given to me. Verse 19. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always. Now that's very clear, isn't it? All authority, all nations, everything, always. The words of Jesus Christ have a permanent and enduring and universal validity for you and for me. That's why they were given, and that's why they were recorded. We ought to pay special attention to what Jesus is saying here. It is a great privilege and a great joy to be a Christian. It is a privilege because we are all here charged with the Great Commission together, as a church and as individuals. But there are times in life when we feel overwhelmed and discouraged because there is too much going on in our lives and we are struggling with too many problems. Recently, I found myself in that position with family health problems, a huge workload, and a mass of different actions to take in all directions. We get weighed down and we wonder how we're going to cope and how also we are going to make our contributions effectively as Christians. But Jesus sends us this great promise. I am with you every day, from now even until the end of the age. And I found recently that if I can just manage to remember that promise and ask for his help and the help of God and the Holy Spirit, the way begins to open, the problems start to get sorted out, and solutions are found. The real mark of the health of the church is not the size of the budget, the size of the staff, the glory of the music, the wonder of the architecture, or any of the worldly measures we like to use. The real mark of the church in Jesus' eyes is a church that is 100% dedicated to fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's a good standard for evaluating all our ministries. Are they equipping people to do this? Are they involved in the disciple-making process? And if our ministries are not doing that, we ought to change them or adjust them to bring them into line with what Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. The Great Commission, which launched the church 2,000 years ago, has been a great success. The gospel has been proclaimed throughout the world, and the people of Christ are indeed in all nations. I was reading the other day about how the people of former communist countries have come back to the church. Some years ago, the Albanian Palace of Congresses in the capital city of Tirana was a virtual shrine to atheistic communism. But when communism fell, the first featured attraction there was not communist ideology, but a film about Jesus, a Crusade for Christ evangelistic project. An estimated 2,000 Albanian people turned out for the showing of the film, including the country's top government officials. And more than 700 people indicated decisions for Christ. And what was once a temple of communism is now being used as a temple of the Holy God, exclaimed the head of the government-controlled Albanian film industry. And we must remember that in going out into the world to proclaim the gospel, we're not always going to be talking to sensible, ordinary people who listen to us with respect. Over 100 years ago, on one Sunday evening, William Booth was walking through London with his son Bramwell, who was then about 12 or 13 years old. The father surprised the son by taking him into a rundown pub. The place was crowded with men and women, many of them bearing on their faces the marks of vice and crime, and many were drunk. And the fumes of excessive alcohol and tobacco were poisonous. But William Booth said to his son Bramwell, "These are our people. These are the people that I want you to live for and bring to Christ." And years later, Bramwell Booth wrote, "The impression never left me." When I was preparing this sermon this week, I was asking myself, what does this mean to me right now in this time and place? Jesus asked his disciples to go out to all nations and preach the gospel. Many nations have accepted the gospel with great enthusiasm, and it is spreading fast. But all nations includes this nation. And one thing that is most alarming in this country at the moment is the widespread cynicism about the point of believing in anything or anyone, except perhaps a vapid celebrity culture that plays to the dimmest instincts. The comedian Russell Brand has asked the question, why bother to vote? There is no one worth voting for. A middle-aged celebrity chef in an interview in a newspaper last weekend said he had never voted and he wouldn't know how to. How concerning is that? In a world full of problems that is crying out for people of faith and energy to roll up their sleeves and seek to deal with them. When I'm writing a talk, I often try to find a story that will help illustrate a theme. This week, I was struggling to find that story. I asked God to lead me to it, but by Friday, it had still not come to me. Then I was unexpectedly asked to attend a talk at lunchtime by a person who runs a charity dealing with people enthralled to a drug-addicted life. I wondered if I had time to go to the talk, but I did, and I was shocked by what I heard. The speaker told us of one of her clients who's been a heavy drug user for many years and has sustained the habit by a life of streetwalking. Recently, she was giving birth, and while she was giving birth, she was taking crack cocaine. Her birth partner was a South London drug dealer who took the opportunity to steal the only money she had in the world, £70. And the baby was born with syphilis and addicted to crack cocaine. A truly horrifying story. And if ever people needed reaching out to by the power of God, it is these people. People immersed in such degradation and horror, so far from being connected with God, that they are, for all intents and purposes, living in hell. And just as William Booth founded the Salvation Army to bring lost souls back to God, we are given the Great Commission to go out into the world and to bring its people back to God and to better lives as a result. We are all Christians commissioned by Jesus to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. How well are we really connecting with those masses of our fellow citizens who have no faith, who do not know the gospel, because not even all our schools teach it anymore, and whose lives are therefore without real purpose or hope? Jesus knew how to talk to the people of his time. He explained his truth in parables, everyday issues that his listeners could relate to. He did not indulge in complicated theological discourses that few people could understand or care about. He talked to them simply as ordinary folk, reaching them where they lived in their lives. It's been very good to see the church in these last few years running the food banks, helping the homeless, those in hopeless debt, opening its life to those who really need that selfless love and compassion. And at the same time, working to create disciples of those we encounter on the way. I'll conclude by saying that we Christians, who are privileged to be commissioned ourselves to spread the faith, need to think and pray very hard about how we can do that, most simply and effectively, to those of our fellow citizens who have little idea about the truth of the existence of God and the power of the gospel. And we can remember that Jesus has promised us that he is with us every day in this work and will support us. So we must ask him to help us and the Holy Spirit to work with us. So may I just finish with a short period of prayer and thought. How can we in the week ahead, as Christians, spread the gospel in our words and in our deeds to people who have no beliefs and no idea of faith or who God is? And if we need to step just a little outside our comfort zone, let's pray that we'll be able to do that. Can we just pause and pray for 1 minute? Amen.